Your heart beats faster and faster.
Yes, we are back, and to, I don't have quotes the way Sean does, so I'm just going to throw my favorite Mark Twain quote out there, and that would be, envy.
Wait for it.
Envy is for the dead, pity is for the living, and this is the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show, and we are Paranormal Broadcasting, where we are a few minutes late, but we are here because we have to thank our friend Becky Ray, because she keeps us up and running every week. If it wasn't for Becky Ray, we would not exist anymore. So, thank you, Becky Ray, over there from Darker Side Radio. And to get started, blah, 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 we'll be opening the phone. Oh, no, we don't have phone lines anymore. I have Sean's I have Sean's old script here. By the way, folks, Sean Burr is not with us tonight. Couldn't be with us. I am joined with our friend Magnus Apollo.
Hello, hello, folks. I am here. I'm trying to be the stand-in Sean and Gowan. I'm half as dynamic as Sean and half the size of Gowan, so it works out well, right?
I'm going to tell Gowan you said that.
Well, I'm hoping he's going to get so upset he comes on the show and starts harassing us more. I figured what better way to do it is by harass the man, and then he's going to come on the show, back of the show, and fight back.
That's right. That's right. So anyway, folks, we'll be watching the chat room all night long, and you can log into that chat room by going to our website at www.ghostanddemon.com. And as I said, I am joined with my buddy Magnus Apollo. I've called you so many names on this show, Magnus. John Magnus, John Apollo, Magnus Apollo,
whatever
John
works.
Chaplin.
Everyone I know gives me a different nickname, so I'm so used to having a different name wherever I go.
My cell phone, you're just marked as Mag. So
that's nice. I'm Mag. Another friend of mine has me as Magpie. I thought that was a cute one. I don't know why he does that, but it's cute. I don't know.
So we're here with Magnus Apollo, a.k.a. Magpie. And this is Nathan S., a.k.a. the Demon Hunter. And this is the Sunday, April 18th episode of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter Show. We will be joined by Margaret Florio of the Rhode Island Paranormal Research Group and Society. She told me to make sure I get the in there, so it's the Rhode Island Paranormal Research Group and Society, because that's their website too. Anyway, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is independently produced by Nathan Schoonover and Sean Burris. It's broadcast live on Absurd Radio, Planet Paranormal Radio, and is recorded for Planet Paranormal Radio in the Black Vault Radio Network. And with that, folks, since I've run out of music, the Ghostman and Demon Hunter Show is beyond the normal broadcast, and it starts right now.
Are you heathens and hooligans? Come on, get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I could use a beer. Don't need you and I don't need this, I want to make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, come on, get the hell out of here.
And now, the original Bad Boys of Paranormal, and your host for tonight's show, Ghostman and Demon Hunter.
And just in case everybody's wondering, I have to reset my board every time Magnus comes on the show, because his voice is so much deeper than Sean's and mine.
Sean's and I, mine. Actually, you work for Sean's and mine. We can be the ghetto side of the paranormal research.
Yo, yo, yo. Yo, and
we hold our EMP meters at the side when we take readings. We turn the side.
You know, I wanted to do that during Extreme Paranormal, and the producers just laughed at me. So, but anyway, it's but so if at any time the levels change, feel free to tell me in the chat room so that I know to adjust things.
I'm sorry, my voice is so odd. It's
your voice is my life odd. Voice. Your is I'll tell you, you. Jeff, Sylvia, mm-hmm. and Tim Yancey have the best radio voices of anyone I know.
Really?
I think I could put the three of you on a show and just have you voice off.
It'd be so like this deep, nice, soothing voices. Everyone's like, that's so amazing, but I fell asleep. It was so bad. Oh, no.
But, you know, Scott L. from Ghostly Talk and I did that one time, I think in Decatur. Mm-hmm. We were both sitting at tables next to each other, and we started having a voice off to see who could do the best radio voice while we were doing the show. And due to his years of experience, his many, 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 many years of experience, Scott managed to beat me. I shouldn't make that joke. I'm older than he is.
Did you ever listen to his those who listened to Ghostly Talk? Did you ever listen to the first 5, 6, 7 episodes? It's actually him and Doug doing radio voices. Oh. That is right. We are listening to, and it is like they don't have it up on the website. So you got to ask Bonnie or something else or try because it is so comical because they are not being their normal selves. I mean, the reason I love listening to Doug because Doug is a guy you want to. He's talking on the microphone or listening to him. You want to bring him home and talk more. When the show is done, you're like, I want Doug over now. I want to have coffee with the man.
I just like to, when I'm around Doug and he's talking, I just want to pinch his cheek and go, that's so cute.
Oh, ghost demons. Yay. Yeah, totally. I totally agree with how he's a great guy. I haven't talked to him enough. I got to talk to him now. I'm missing him.
No, you cannot call him during the show.
Oh, darn. I had my phone out and everything.
I'll actually have him programmed in here. We could actually call him and harass him. But if I did that, he would never speak to me again. No, chances are he wouldn't pick up the phone. He never picks up the phone if he never picks up the number.
Although the one time I was going to leave a message for him a little while back, I was like, I'll leave a message for him. Nope, he picks up. I'm like, I was ready to leave a message. I didn't want to talk. He threw me out of the loop here.
I left you a message on your phone because you have one of those messages on your voicemail. Mm-hmm. And I called your phone and you were like, hey, hey. And I'm like, hey, Magnus, it's Nathan. I'm just calling to make sure you're ready for tonight. And it went, leave a message after the tone. And I just, I wanted to curse you.
Well, it's actually funny. I don't try to do it, but every time I answer the phone, if anyone ever calls me, I answer about the same way. It's always hello, hello, with like a double hello, a little bit of a pause. I'm very upbeat. I'm one of those guys that has the glasses half full of alcohol, but it's half full. And I'm always, so people always harass me. I'm like, I fell for that. I'm like, I wasn't trying to be a trick one. It's just me being as friendly as I am. So you just so want to talk to me, I guess.
Well,
the voice is like, hello, let's go.
I did want to throw this out here before we go out any further because somebody asked me a few things this week. One, they wanted to know the opening music of the show. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to throw out there that the opening song, the song you hear when we first open up, I don't actually have the title in front of me, but it is by a group called Spectre Men. And you can Google them and find their information. They're a paranormal punk rock band.
And then, I love that.
And then the second song, the Heathens and Hooligans song, is by a group called Soul Dog. And Soul Dog actually no longer in existence, but you can find their music and a lot about them on guitarviking.com. And they're now another group called Rev Ron and Friends. So, or Rev and Friends, one of the two. And great groups, both of them. Longtime friends, so they're out there if you were wondering about them. And next, to throw this out there as well,
A lot of throwing is going on.
A lot of throwing is going out there. You know, it's one of those things. But wanted to throw out to Terry and Lindsay that they are getting married on, I guess, yesterday. They said send a congrats out to
so they are married.
Terry and Lindsay getting married on Saturday. So I think that was yesterday. listener well, to the
if
show.
If it's yesterday or next Saturday, either congrats on having it done or congrats next week. Hope it doesn't rain.
If it's next week, I'm sure they're very busy planning. And if it was yesterday, I'm sure they're just getting busy. So, but wanted to throw congrats out to those guys. Thank you so much for being listeners of the show. We need all we can get. but again, anybody who hears I'm wheezing a little still, didn't stop me from lighting up a cigar from Butthead's Tobacco Emporium in Danbury, Connecticut.
Butthead's, you have a sound effect for that?
Butthead's! But I am smoking a Cassano. It's a Cassano Corojo 97. So nice. It's from 1997. So
that's a 13-year-old cigar now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And gotta say, I like Cassano. They're one of the cigars I smoke for fun. Mm-hmm. You know, when I need a cigar around the house, kind of thing. But this is a really tasty cigar. So wanted to throw that out. Thanks, Buttheads. I missed an event this week. They had an event, and I didn't have enough money. And they have events where you can go and get, you know, free cigars. And
so you got to – the free cigars cost money, you're saying?
No, no, no. But having been a longtime customer, I don't like to go in and get a free cigar if I'm not buying anything.
I understand that logic.
I'm not that guy. I can't go in and get the freebie and then – not buy.
I'm the exact same way. I've been many things. People are like, oh, come on and get something free. I'm like, I still got to buy something because I feel bad taking anything. You know, it's always like, let me offer you something else in exchange. Here's a limb of something. a ham sandwich. I don't know.
And it's just one of those things. But awesome place, Butthead's Tobacco Emporium. If you're ever in Danbury, Connecticut, if you can't find me and look me up, you can always stop by there and check out what they have going on, because they have a lot going on there. It's a great, outside of going to like maybe JR Cigar or something like that, it's my favorite place to go and just get a cigar. A lot of stuff up in this area that's my favorite. It's my favorite place to ghost hunt is in New Milford, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the Theater Works Theater.
Is it under new management, that place I was hearing?
Yes, it is under new management. You did hear correct. It's not actually under new management.
A lot of stuff.
Excuse me, chest bump there. It is under new management in that the head of the actual committee that runs it. Am I echoing for you?
Not that bad. I mean, it's slight, but...
I just have to keep control over the board here, make sure it's not a problem. But the head of the committee, whose name is Pettibone, and is actually a direct descendant of the Pettibone you may have heard of the Pettibone Tavern.
I have heard that.
It's a famous haunted location that was actually on a famous ghost hunting television show. Not Extreme Paranormal, but it was one of those things where he was a direct descendant. I happened to find that out going and investigating Theater Works, finding a lot of great stuff at Theater Works. So I just, had that great rapport going on with them, and it's my favorite place to ghost hunt. So a lot of my favorites here in Danbury, Connecticut, and New Milford, Connecticut. The Masonic Lodge that I joined, New Milford, Connecticut. So
I love Masonic Lodges. They are the weirdest buildings. I mean, if people have a chance to ever go in one, you don't have to be a Mason sometimes. They have like certain charity events or, what's going on there. But if you have a chance to go into them, they have a nice air about them.
They really do. And like last month, our Masonic Lodge, St. Peter's Lodge in New Milford, Lodge 21, had a St. Paddy's Day
Really? Dinner.
And they had Irish dancers, and the dancers danced in the lodge. So people were actually able to come in and sit in a lodge where normally only Masons can come.
Yeah, I've been invited into some of those things. And because my family are Masons, everything else, I never became a Mason. But I've been invited multiple times. They always try to they want to bring you in as well. And I walking in some of those rooms, there's an air in there that's just like – there's some stuff. I don't know what's going on here. And I, it's still a mystery to me. It's one of those things I still find it like, there's like, you know, secret handshakes and cloak and daggers and, I don't know,
well,
crazy
it was,
little cars.
It was very
or something.
Funny. Today I went to a place in New Milford called the Elephant Trunk, and it's a huge flea market kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And I walked by this little place, and I saw sitting in a tray, I've actually got it right over my head here next to my bottle of Crystal Head vodka.
Nice.
A little ornament with a Masonic emblem on it.
Mm-hmm.
Since I am not a Master Mason yet, I cannot wear a Masonic emblem, but this had one on it, so it sits over my desk. And as I was looking at it, a gentleman came over and said, you know, looked at me and said, you should really be a Mason to buy that. Mm. And I took his hand, and with a handshake, he knew I was a Mason. So,
I actually know what, I can't say it too loud because I'll get killed if I say it, but I do know what many of the things are because I'm very observant.
Yep.
And I've watched people do stuff, so.
And, but there are certain symbols. There's a lot of history to that whole effect. You know,
that's right. I find that amazing, the history aspect of it, and this, like, there's a hidden history that it, and it's still to this day still being, you know, a group of still, I mean, there's still power behind it, I still believe, and it's how it's one of those still a semi-secretive club that, and you know, there's things that I will never know unless I become a Mason. Even becoming a Mason, you probably will never know the true, some of the true secrets behind the whole Masonic you know, ideologies and things. So.
Well, you know, it's funny because I think one of the big things about Masons that people get very inspired about, or let's not say inspired, let's say excited or interested about, is they are a secret...
Intrigued,
thank you. They are a secret organization that tell people that they are a secret organization.
Yeah, it's the first rule about Masons is don't talk about the Masons. Right. I think it's great.
You know, and it's... It's like Fight Club, you know? It's,
oh, yes. Yeah.
But, you know, it's one of those things where you go into these lodges, and once you go in, you literally have a last chance to say yes or no, you're going to be a member. And once mm-hmm. you say yes, you take an oath to keep the secret.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I'm trying to look into right now, being a person who researches the history of religions.
Uh-huh.
And I always thought I knew this, but I have not found the confirmation of it. And I'm sure it'd be easy enough to find. I could Google it right now and find it, but I'm doing a show, so I'm not going to. But was Joseph Smith, who started the Mormons, a Mason?
I didn't think he was. I heard that he was actually one of the few ones that I didn't think he was a Mason. But I could be wrong. Maybe someone in our chat room can fill us in. But I'm actually over in where the I'm actually in the area where the Mormons started, over at like Hill Cumorah and all that. I'm right here, so I'm really very inundated by a lot of Mormon beliefs, and the Mormons show up here for their big Hill Cumorah festival every year. And you know,
is that where they come to see like the angel?
Yeah, this is where the angel showed up, and this is where he saw the tablets with the viewing stones and such. It was actually just about 25 minutes from here. It was about like 10-15 minutes from my parents' house, I remember at one point. My aunt and uncle lived like over the hill from it. It's always like, oh yeah, that whole religious thing just over the hill, and it's just, you know, flights from Utah just dropping them off, you know. And
well, the reason this question came up is I recently watched a special on the Masons, and mm-hmm. there are a lot of hand gestures and symbols they have to use that are secret symbols, mm-hmm. and a lot of ideology that is similar to the Masons. And I just looked up and found out that Joseph Smith was in fact a Mason.
I always thought he was. I would look at researching it. I'm glad to know that.
Apparently, all these secret things that were passed down to him from the angel were very similar to that which he learned being a Mason. So I find that interesting.
Neat. See, I needed to know that. Was that Wikipedia? Did they shed light on us here?
Well, no. Wikipedia does pop up, but it was actually a website on Joseph Smith that I found. So it's it's just one of those crazy kind of things that you find out as you go on. And wow, I'm glad I just Googled that. Google is a wonderful thing. You know, we don't get paid by Google. But they do.
You will if you mention it enough, probably, because they do. Google is going to take over the world at one point.
Google. But they do help people find our show, so I'm appreciative of that. And but you know, it's one of those things I just wondered about and didn't have the opportunity to really look up till I was doing a radio broadcast. So
no time like the present. Why not pause the whole radio show we've been working on? Just pause it. Go ahead. Google search. It's fine.
Hey, but did you hear that there was a woman in Edinburgh who is suing, saying that her pants almost killed her?
I did not hear that. I somehow missed that in my morning newspaper reading.
Apparently, there is a woman in she works in the Edinburgh Royal Infirmary.
Okay.
And a major clothing retailer launched an investigation after she claimed that a pair of pants that she bought in one of their stores triggered a severe allergic reaction. This news comes from The Sun. And World of the Weird from The Sun.
I love that part of The Sun. I read that all the time. I should not admit to that, but I find that as a one heck of a fun place to get your quotes from.
But Nurse Kim Walker, 37, collapsed while working at the Edinburgh Royal Infirmary, suffering from anaphylactic shock.
Did it have, like, something in it? I mean, like formaldehyde or something?
She believes that the moisture absorbed in the fibers caused it was a fiber, it says skimming, but I think it's slimming knickers. She bought from a Peermark store. I wonder if that's like a Kmart here, but it's a Peermark in Greenock, could have sparked the potentially fatal condition. So your pants can kill you now.
Killer pants. That's the reason I don't wear them. You know, even though the people at the
that's why the Ghost Man and Demon, I know that's why the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show does everything in their boxers. It's why
pants,
we don't do
pants
a video
free is the way to be. It's the safest way. You know, I don't want to die from pants deaths. I do not want to be that person. So it's better be safe.
When I was reading that article, I also saw one called Baby Boomer, which apparently a couple in Germany purchased a stroller on over the internet, and they bought they ordered it. It came to them. They put it together and went to put their baby in it, and then went to clear out the pockets and found a Sig Sauer pistol.
Wow, that's a deal.
The pocket. Yeah. Personally, I am a big fan of Sig Sauers, and thought, you know, really? Are they allowed to keep it? But no, they had actually had to let everybody know that it was in there. They contacted the police, and they came and took it away.
Well, probably for the best. I mean, you think you find that, and like, hope it's not something you use for a murder someplace. You want to have, if you find something like that, you probably should bring it to the police. Although I wouldn't. I know I should. I'm telling everyone else to do it, but if I find it, I'm going to be telling everyone that can keep a secret. Like, oh my God, check what I found out. A gun.
You know, I wonder if it was used in a crime. There's no information on that yet. I was too busy reading the next article that apparently someone's pet dog was saved by Viagra.
Do I want to know? I'm not sure.
Apparently, their pet dog had a severe heart condition.
Okay.
But by giving the dog Viagra, which is now celebrating its 10th anniversary for all those Viagra fans out there, the dog...
Happy anniversary!
The dog has been given new life. Its heart is working well. And as you know, Viagra causes blood to flow certain areas, and apparently
the ears, right? Is it the ears?
Yes.
I hear it's the ears.
I have been told that your ears turn red when you take it, Magnus.
Okay.
But anyway, I'm sure that it saved the dog's life, and I'm glad to hear that it saved the dog's life. But I'm wondering,
what type of dog is it? Did they tell you? I mean, if it's like a little Chihuahua, it's okay. But if it's like some sort of Great Dane, I mean, that may be something that has to be contended with. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm just really wondering if the dog was fixed, Because if he wasn't fixed, you know he's humping everything right now.
Yeah, there's damaged furniture probably in that case.
You know, it's like, you know, they've got to bring in the special cleaners, everything like that. It's it would be bad. It would be just bad. Mm-hmm. Hey, here's a little crypto news.
Yay, I love crypto news.
It's in a town in South Africa.
Okay.
There is living in a... people there are living in fear after several sightings of a creepy gnome.
Oh, really? Gnomes again?
That locals claim stalks the streets at night. Now, this is the sun's word, because I know some people don't like this word, but the midget, which wears a pointy hat and has a distinctive sideways walk, was caught on video last week by a terrified group of youngsters.
Really? Video?
A teenager, Josh, filmed the gnome and told the a national newspaper, El Terrenbino, everybody take a drink. What the heck? Sean's not here, but you still get to drink. They caught the gnome while lurking about their hometown of General Gurms. Well, if there's going to be a gnome, you'd think he'd be in a town called Gurms.
Yeah, it definitely seems, you know, Smithsville is not so much a dude gnome town.
Yeah, it's in the province of Salta, Argentina. So it begins.
So it's on film, though. I haven't heard this.
I have not seen it myself, but it was a mobile phone video.
Okay, so it's all shaky and it'll be pixelated.
Yeah.
And it could be Rosie O'Donnell in a wig, for all we know.
For all we know. But the boys were joking around, filming each other as they joked, and suddenly they heard a weird noise as if somebody was throwing stones. We looked over to one side and saw the grass was moving. To begin with, we thought it was a dog. But when we saw this gnome-like figure begin to emerge, we were really afraid. That's a quote. Josh added that the locals had come forward to say that they had spotted the gnome. He said that this is no joke. We are still afraid, just like everybody else in the neighborhood now. One of my friends was so scared after seeing that thing that we had to take him to the hospital.
Wow.
So,
you know, it's if you're going to get a story, if you're... You'll find if someone's going to be insulted or being like put in bad light, like, I saw a gnome and it put me to the hospital because I was so scared. You know, they probably tell him the truth because he's not getting the ladies with that story. He's really not.
Now, just to throw out to you, did you hear anything about the Bigfoot hares in Pennsylvania?
I saw they had one about 4, 5, 6 months ago.
January.
Yeah, it's okay. So it's in that. So 4 months ago. Yeah. So
do we have any news on that? Sean and I talked about that they were sending the hares to be inspected, and they were near footprints.
What I heard was kind of weird. It was the results. When people talk about the results of, like, you know, hares found, there is when they give you back, it's always like, you know, it's 99% human, 1% not human, or something else. They give a number that way. And a lot of crypto people will jump on. It's like, it's not 100% human. And if I think of that one, I remember they found it. They said that it's like there was some contamination, if I'm thinking of the right one here. And they did have that. They said it was not, you know, they can't be 100% sure it's human. And I think people have jumped on the idea, like, hey, look, it's proof, it's genetic proof, it's Bigfoot. When I think the lab was playing it safe and saying, hey, we're not quite sure, we can't give it 100%. It doesn't match some of the humans we have here, but how does I love the chat room, by the way. If people are listening and they're not in the chat room, they really are missing out on some of everything else. I got sidetracked with what Ghost Chaser's comment on. It was he's hearing it's actually Bigfoot pubes, which could explain a lot, really.
So. Well, then you've got to deal with the whole maybe sexual content, you know.
Yeah. I don't know if it's shaved, it's for a photo shoot.
Ooh,
who knows?
Ooh. Hey, what's the name of the girl that starred in the Addams Family as Wednesday?
The original one or the new one?
The new one.
Christina Ricci?
Christina Ricci, thank you. I was just watching her the other night on the Graham Norton show. That gives out a little bit more information about myself than people needed to know.
I love Graham Norton. He's awesome. I wish America had more, like, would play with Graham Norton. People would realize that there's some talented people in Britain.
But I was watching Graham Norton, and she was on, and she was saying that they wanted to do a cartwheel like she had done in the movie. And she refused to do it because she's filming a new movie where she plays a Victorian woman, and she did not shave her armpits for the film. So she would not do the cartwheel. But she shaved her legs. So, as far as I remember, didn't during, like, the late 17th, early 18th, late 17th, early 1800s, people in France started shaving their armpits for fear of lice?
Yeah.
So I don't see why she had to grow her arm hair out. They could have just said she went to France and was afraid of lice.
That's actually you were shaving because with lice and everything else was that's the invention of merkins. You ever heard that story too? That's you know what a merkin is?
Merkin. The name is like running through my head.
Okay, this is for the people on the chat room as well. A merkin is an invention that was actually picture a toupee for the pubic area. And because the fashion was to have hair, actually, but if you were poor, you could have a chance of having lice. So if you wanted to impress someone, you would have hair there. Well, you actually had a thing designed called a merkin that would actually be the toupee you would attach to certain areas. So, she could have totally done a merkin. That'd been great.
Well, they asked her why she just didn't get an armpit toupee, and apparently it's kind of hard to do, but...
I would imagine.
I just had to throw that out there because I actually enjoyed watching the Graham Norton show last night. It was right after I finished watching the new Doctor Who. So
I love Doctor Who. I'm a Doctor Who fanatic.
And, are we on, like, Doctor Who 11 now?
We're on the 12th Doctor or 13th Doctor.
12th Doctor. 12th Doctor. Because I think when they restarted the series, it was the 10th Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last Doctor was 11, so this would be 12 now that started last night. But they did a brief little homage during last night's show that kind of paid tribute to all the Doctors.
Nice.
And, being a longtime Doctor Who fan, got to say thank you for that. And, it was just one of those things where I was on Facebook and just posted I'm the Doctor, and somebody posted Doctor Who, and I said yes. It was
Dr. Donna.
Yes,
Dr. I actually Donna. If I should post some pictures. I have decided to change my base, my bathroom on the first floor of my house is now actually becoming the TARDIS. I have this rather weird basement that was built in the dining room that it actually blocks one of the windows. It's just a box in the corner of a room.
Is it bigger on the inside?
With the addition of mirrors, it's going to look bigger on the inside, but it will not. I'm trying to do this, but I'll post some pictures on the web boards. What I'm doing, it's a large box. It's kind of funny and it looks weird. So I'm like, you know what? If it's going to look weird, why not make it look even more weird? So it's all bright blue. I'm actually still building the door right now, but the door is actually typical old. It has a window style in there. There's signs on it. There's a big sign above it that says the police call box. And I'm wiring it up so when you flush a toilet, it makes a sound. So that's my goal. So I will post pictures of that on the boards for people to see.
Well, see, folks, if you're not a member of the Ghostman and Demon Hunter forums, there's a reason to join because you will get to see a picture of Magnus's TARDIS bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to explain a TARDIS to someone who had never watched Doctor Who last night. My friend Mo was over, Maureen, and... She
and relative dimension in space or something? Is that what the TARDIS stands for?
Time and relative dimension in space, yes.
Ta-da! Look at that.
I was trying to explain to her, and finally in the end I just had to look at her and say, it's a time machine, and it's bigger on the inside.
Works well. Actually, I was reading something today. The TARDIS actually technically inside it is its own dimension. That's how they get away with it. The TARDIS actually, even though it's only one room, it actually has multiple rooms, like a bathroom, which you never show, but there apparently is a bathroom there.
Yeah.
So
it's if you're not a Doctor Who fan, I'm sorry for boring you with the fact that I am a geek.
But they would have known by now. They people listening to the show have well known your geekdom. Your status among the geek members here. You're practically a lord of geekdoms.
For those of you who are Doctor Who fans, David, and am I saying this right?
Tennant.
Left being the Doctor last season. It was his kind of homage to the former producer and writer because they were leaving as well. And Matt Smith has taken over the role, and as a Doctor fan, you know, I was a little upset that David was leaving, just as I was upset when Christopher left. But
yes, I like Christopher. The previous one was actually great.
Yes, he was awesome. He was like, and I'm going to quote the special they did last night. He was like the Clint Eastwood of the Doctors.
He was a great way to jumpstart the series again. He was a perfect one to have. That was like, it got me hooked right away. So,
but you know, it's just one of those fantastic things, and want to say thank you to the producers of Doctor Who because I'm a fan. But dude, we got to take a 5-minute break here so I can get in touch with our guest for the evening.
And people can go like look at sports or something, get less geeky right now than you can get,
if they want to kind of wash the geek off. But
know what they can do? Just go to the Rhode Island Paranormal Society. What's their website? I'm trying to think what their
website is. www.triperg.com.
Yep, the Rhode Island Paranormal Research Group.
Yep, .com. So we will be back in just a few minutes with Margaret Florio of the Rhode Island Paranormal Research Group and Society. And in the meantime, folks, we're going to play a little music from Juliana Down with, make sure I get this right because they spelt it funny, Empires. So we'll be right back after this.
Are you looking for your favorite paranormal podcast? Well, come and visit us at planetparanormal.com. We are your guide to the other side. Come and check out our hub to see all our latest podcasts from your favorite paranormal celebrities. And don't forget to check out our news feeds to see what's late great in the paranormal community, as well as events coming to a town near you. Come visit us on the web at www.planetparanormal.com. That's www.planetparanormal.com.
Remains. agony makes us the same. Now this torch, now you will see. You're the only one for me. Could it be the love knows? Could it be empires arising, rising deep down inside of me? Could it be the love sees? Only reason I breathe. Empires arising, rising. Empires arising, rising. Empires arising, rising. Empires arising, rising. Empires arising inside of us.
Do you want to dive into the bizarre world of the paranormal? Do ghosts, UFOs, or the supernatural amaze you to the point of wanting to learn more? Then you need BVRN, the Black Vault Radio Network. With more than 750 hours of on-demand talk radio, syndicated from more than 35 shows, the Black Vault Radio Network is your one-stop shop for the world of the unexplained. Check us out and tune in 24 hours a day, www.blackvaultradio.com. Again, that's www.blackvaultradio.com.
The Darker Side of the Moon is an alternative talk variety show.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Since 2006, host Becky Ray and Laura Moon speak with independent filmmakers, authors, musicians, artists, and many, many more.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Sometimes serious, mostly fun, the show has a little for everyone.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Was it odd, freaky, and you didn't hear it on the 5 o'clock news? Then we'll probably cover it here.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Darker Side currently airs live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7 p.m. Central and 5 p.m. Pacific.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
If you happen to miss it, you can listen to show archives at any time online at DarkerSideRadio.com, or you may subscribe to the show on iTunes.
DarkerSideRadio.com.
Hi, this is Shannon Sylvia from Goat Hunters International, and you're listening to Ghost Man and the Demon Hunter Show.
All you heathens and hooligans, come on and get the hell out of here. Bum, 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 bum.
Oh, you know, I'm really glad I dropped out of school for communications, but at least I stayed in long enough to learn how to control a board. So
that's a big thing. It's those little survival instincts you got to have to worry about.
Hey, for those of you who liked Juliana Down, you can find them on GarageBand.com. But right now, we are back on the air with our friend, our new friend, and our new buddy, our new pal, that would be, and I've been told to call her Maggie, so this would be Maggie Florio of the Rhode Island Paranormal. Am I saying this right, Maggie?
Yep, the Rhode Island Paranormal Research Group.
Group and society.
And society, yep.
So it's, you threw that extra in there to just, you know, what's the difference between a group and society and the paranormal?
I don't really know. I always thought a society was kind of a hoity-toity title. But I think that we are referred to by either-or title, so we just decided to, you know, make it official.
Well,
like our title wasn't long enough, right?
Well, I'll tell you, Maggie, Sean Burris, my partner, my brother from another mother, wanted me to tell you he's very sorry he's not here tonight. He had to work. So it came down to feeding the family. So, you know, one of the rules of the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show, we have two main rules. One, we never tell anyone they're wrong. And two, we never spend or cost money that we have to have to get by. So he wanted to say he was sorry, but we have Magnus Apollo. I mean, how much better could we get? So
yeah, I was just talking to Magnus.
Magnus is like that guy that, you know, I wish I could be, because he goes out and does stuff that make me look like a coward. And anybody who's watched Extreme Paranormal knows I don't run from anything, so Magnus is just
that cool. It does help. I'm about 6'2", 300 pounds, so shy of actually bumping into, like, a Sasquatch. I'm pretty much usually the largest thing in the field, so.
Well, and it's funny.
I have a son that would give you a run for your money.
I'm actually the small one in my family. I have cousins that are ginormous. I'm actually the little one in my family.
Here's a hint, folks. Magnus, we're not really saying this, but we think there may be a Sasquatch in the family line.
Actually, the funny thing is my father used to build nuclear weapons for the military, so we think maybe some radiation. It could be a radiation thing.
Ah.
And I've been bald since I've been like 18, so it must be. And I glow in the dark, so it's got to be the radiation.
Oh, my. Yes, this is what we do on the Ghost Man and Demon Hunter show.
Well, I think our director might be a distant relative because he's like 6'9".
Wow.
He is really, really tall.
A distant relative,
big man.
A distant relative to Magnus or a distant relative to Sasquatch?
No, both. To Magnus.
Oh, okay.
Is he a redhead too? Because I'm a redhead, so I think all Sasquatch people are redheads. I don't know. It'd explain a lot.
He's gray now, but he might have been a redhead at one time.
Could be. Never know.
I know two Sasquatch people. I'm not throwing their names out there because I've called them Sasquatch people now.
Mm-hmm.
But
they're big and scary.
They're big and scary, and they're both redheads too. So
see, it's the Viking genetics. I think that's really what it is. We're spread amongst. We're ready to take over or do a Capital One credit card commercial at any point in time.
Well,
we are
set. It's funny. My family is Dutch, but we're all tiny people. As Magnus has photos of he and I together, and I'm almost 6 foot tall, and I am dwarfed by Magnus. So it's
I'm almost 300 pounds. I mean, like, or actually, I'm over 300 pounds. I mean, like, I'm just built big. So
you are literally almost twice me. So
I'm twice the man you are. Oh crap, I am. That's right. I'm excited about the cast here because random small factoid: for Rhode Island. Now it is the smallest state in the union, and it had three people that founded Rhode Island. One of which is Champlin, which is my last name. And my family actually was one of the people. I'm actually a descendant of the Champlins that founded Rhode Island.
Well,
so
see, yeah. I'm very excited about tonight's guest because I actually got to meet her. So,
I'm just saying, my family got the state together. That's what we're. This is what I bring to the table. My family brought the whole state into. Mind you, it's only the size of a small country, or a county, really. But we didn't want to go too big. We want to stay small.
We're fighting over you, Maggie. How do you feel?
Well, you know that Rhode Island was founded by a bunch of rebels and rejects.
Okay, I'll take the rebel part. Can I not have the reject part? So
yeah, rebels are way cooler.
Yeah, I'll go with rebels. I'm sorry. So let me picture that I have some sort of great genetic, inheritance. It's like these guys are founding a state, and I don't know. But if you go to Providence, the last name's all over the place there.
Well, it was. Really,
oh yeah, I'm familiar with the name Champlain.
It was.
No one else is where I'm ever from. I think like Champlain, like the lake or something else. But there.
Well, that's how you explained it to me when we first met, Magnus. You said I was trying to figure out your name, and you went, "It's like Champlain, like the lake, but different."
But the British version.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're the British version. They copied us afterwards. They're like, that sounds really cool, but let's make it sound plain at the end of it. Like, no, the first name is Champ. His champ right in there. Come on. So we should get back to our guest.
We should. We're fighting over her to see who she'll love the most at the end of the night. And that's just not right.
That's okay. I'm enjoying it.
One of the things I wanted to point out about Maggie is I actually met Maggie in Rhode Island. I was up in Rhode Island and was doing a signing for the Everything Ghost Hunting book. And Maggie came in. And because your group is actually mentioned as well in the Everything Ghost Hunting book, correct?
Yes, we are. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I was there because if you ever get the book, you'll see there's a little thing at the top where I talk about the book. And it is an awesome book. Anybody who has not gone out and gotten the Everything Ghost Hunting book yet, go out and get it. It really gets into every aspect of the paranormal that you could possibly want to look into when it comes to ghost hunting, including respecting other people's beliefs and proper research technique, which other books just don't seem to cover. And, you know, Maggie came in and we were talking to her and we really hit it off. And I wanted to have her on the show. And I also wanted to have the leader of your group in.
Mm-hmm.
And he was unable to make it tonight. But one of the awesome things that I found out about you is that your group actually investigated the Charles W. Morgan.
Yes, we did, back in 2006.
And I don't know of any other group that has done that.
No, I think we're the only group so far.
I think if you get too far, I should definitely tell people what it is. I mean, just saying a name, people should actually understand why this is such a big news.
The Charles W. Morgan is a battleship, but it is
No. It's the oldest existing wooden whaling ship in the world.
Thank you. Whaling ship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at a picture of it, you're expecting pirates to come off at any moment.
It is visually one of the most coolest ships you'd ever seen. It's like I've only seen pictures of it, and I came across it years back talking about different like old ships, and I saw it and I thought it was a prop. It's that epic looking. It's like that's got to be made like last year. It's like, you know, Goonies 15 or something is going to use it, and no, it's beautiful. So just to check it out, go online and you know check that pictures out of it.
It's one of those ships that when you look at it, you're expecting Jack Sparrow to just jump off. And all it needs is black sails, really. And it's gorgeous in every way, shape, and form. But it's at the Mystic Seaport. If you've ever been up to Mystic Aquarium or you've seen Mystic Pizza or any of that stuff, it's there and it's absolutely beautiful. And you guys spent 5 months investigating this ship, correct?
Yes, on and off. From April to September of 2006. Right now, the Charles W. Morgan is undergoing restoration because the bottom of the boat was starting to warp, and you know it was putting stress on the timbers. So it's undergoing like a massive restoration. So it's up out of the water on this huge platform, and it's really something to see.
Well, you know, they need to get some Scots in there to work on it, because if you're going to work on a ship, you need to have Scots work on it, because only Scots really know how to fix a ship.
How it works. Okay, I'm imagining how the ship must be. I mean, even at my age, I imagine, you know, anyone of that age would have falling timbers and, you know, need to be re-bottomed and stuff.
I just want to jump on in a pirate costume and yell "Ahoy, matey!" That's what I want to do.
But you do that every place. You went to Wegmans or McDonald's one day and jumped on. You know, did the same thing. I mean, the shopping cart got you going. So, I don't know.
Well, there's something fun about riding in a shopping cart. I mean,
I know I push as fast as I can, and you see me like, laugh like a little kid. So I can't say no.
But you guys went on the Charles W. Morgan. I'm going to jump right into this. Did you think it was haunted when it was done? When you were done?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Yeah.
And
that was a nice resilient. Like, it's like definitely a yes. Wow.
I mean, the first time I went on board the ship was with our director, and we were there to meet with Michael Farrell, who is the public relations director at Mystic Seaport. And you know, we had a meeting with him as secretary of the group. I was there taking notes, and then we went on board the ship, and we were walking through the ship trying to figure out, you know, where we were going to set up our cameras during the investigation. And another thing that I do for the group is I'm what they call a sensitive. I'm sensitive to spirit energy. You could call me a psychic or a medium, whatever. So, you know, we're walking around the ship, and there's actually three levels to the ship. You know, you have the top deck, and then the middle deck, which contains the blubber room, where they used to remove the blubber from the whales. And in the front of the ship on that mid deck is the forecastle, or the forecastle. And then and on the opposite end, you have like the captain's quarters and the officer's quarters. And then down below deck, you had where, you know, all the casks of oil were stored and that kind of thing. So I went all the way down below deck. and while Andy and Mike were on the mid-deck talking. And, you know, I'm just looking around, trying to figure out where we're going to put the cameras. And I turned around, and in the bow of the ship, I saw a group of men working. And among them was a very tall, thin, redheaded man. And he was, like, you know, telling them what to do. And I was like, okay, what is this man's name? And I got a name. And it was just like watching a movie, you know. yeah, it was amazing. These things don't often happen. And like on the very first visit, it was just amazing. And then I went up to the midship, and I was standing there, you know, talking to Andy and Mike, and I could see someone moving around in the forecastle, and it was this man who was like waving to me, like beckoning to me. And I said, "Oh, what the heck, you know?" So I said, "Excuse me," and I, you know, to Andy and Mike, and I went to the forecastle, and there was nobody there. And I was like, "Okay, well, you know, you called me in here. Aren't you gonna, you know, tell me your name?" And I got a name, and I got what I'll call him a sailor because he was like an enlisted man. That's the men who stayed in the forecastle were like, you know, the workers, the grunts. And it was really cool that I got that much information just on a first visit. So I gave the information to Andy, and he gave it to the researchers. And sure enough, they turned up the two names. They had the list of all the people that had worked on board the ship in all its voyages, and, you know, the names were verified, and I was like, wow, this is really cool, you know? It was like living history.
Two-part question here for you. Mm-hmm. One, do you think that the restorations that they're making now will increase the activity on the boat?
No.
You don't?
No, because I've been to see it. My husband and I went down there just for a visit, you know, to the seaport, because it is just a wonderful place to visit. And I said, well, you know, we can't visit the seaport without going on board the Morgan. And you can go on board, you know, you have to climb all these stairs and to get on board, but you can go on board and walk around in certain sections. And it was like, you know, psychically, there was just nothing there. There was, so I think maybe the restorations has maybe displace them, or maybe they've just moved on because of all the, you know, the constant activity and the tearing down and the replacing, and or maybe they're hiding, who knows, but there was just nothing there. And I was very disappointed, you know, it's kind of like visiting old friends and they're not there anymore. But hopefully once she's back in the water, you know, things will be different.
I have found that with a lot of places that I've, you know, researched. I remember one of the places I used to go when I was a child was this old tuberculosis TB ward that had, you know, in the middle of the woods, top of this beautiful hill. And when you were there frequently, it had an air about it. And then the person who owned the property started putting fences up and stopping people from getting in because some people were, you know, breaking in there. And when people were not being there, it seemed like there's kind of the life of the place seemed to have died down. And I remember going back to see it, and it felt like you said, like there's nothing there. It's like you're going to an empty house of an old friend. There's like, you know, the pictures aren't on the walls kind of thing. It just felt empty. And once the guy gave up, someone else bought a thing, people started coming back in and getting back into that, you know, the energy of exploration and being in there, it came back. So hopefully maybe something like that will happen with the Morgan, you know.
I hope so. Now, I really do.
Here's part two of that question. Being that it's a boat, and so many people believe that water charges paranormal activity. Do you think that once it's back in the water, that water will charge it back up and you'll start seeing activity again?
Yeah, I do.
Nice.
Now, how does a group go about getting on someplace like the Charles W. Morgan? I mean, it's the oldest whaling ship in America, if not the world, and you know, you're out there and you just get this gig early on before ghost hunting's popular.
Well, it wasn't that easy. we had gotten some letters through our website describing, you know, visitors to the Morgan that wrote to us saying, gee, you know, you should really check this place out. And one person, well, we received three letters, three correspondences, and they all described the same thing that happened to them. They would be walking around the ship, and they came across this man in, you know, in period costume, either, you know, just sitting there smoking a pipe or working on some rope or walking around or whatever. And they just assumed that he worked at the seaport and he was like a docent or, you know, somebody like that. And they asked about him, you know, they'd ask a member of the staff about the guy and they'd say, you know, what guy, what sailor, what guy? And there's no smoking allowed on the boat. So, and, you know, so these people wrote to us saying, gee, do you think it's haunted? You know, I saw this person and come to find out he really wasn't there. So we wrote a letter to the seaport explaining, you know, what had happened, that we were a paranormal group and we received these letters and we would like to check out these claims. We would like to see if there's, you know, really something going on there. And they were kind enough to allow us to do it.
Wow.
But, you know, we had to work things out. You know, there was security. We had to have security people on board with us. There were certain rules that we had to follow. You know, we couldn't eat or drink on board. And they also wanted to allow some media people there, you know, because publicity does help. Yeah. Bring people to the seaport. I mean, you really can't blame them.
No. Well, you need money to restore it. You know, you got to have the cash to restore and keep this thing going. It's you know, slowly being torn apart by the elements.
That's right. And, you know, we were agreeable to it, but, you know, up to a point. We're not the kind of group that looks for the spotlight. We prefer the flashlight to the spotlight, if you will.
I like that sense.
So, you know, we wanted it limited, and we wanted to do a real investigation, so we didn't want to have constant interruptions and people watching over our shoulder. At no time at all were we told, you know, you have to find ghosts on board. They were like, well, you know, it is what it is. So we were very cool with that because we would never do something like that, you know, go to a place and say it's haunted when it's not.
Arg.
Arg. There's the ghosties here.
Now, what I want to know is why, with all the great stuff that you guys did on the Charles W. Morgan, when I was researching you, you weren't on Wikipedia as having investigated it. It's
really? Just,
I don't see you on there.
I didn't know that.
Time to
I'm
edit
gonna
it.
I'm going to have to go on Wikipedia.
You have to go on Wikipedia and mention that.
Where do I look up?
Just go on Wikipedia and look up the Charles W. Morgan because you guys... Hey,
all you got to do is add it and send a link to your website showing the any evidence you had. And Wikipedia is amazing that way.
Yep.
So
now you need to get it on there and post that you guys investigated this location because, quite frankly, I love boats. Anybody who knows me knows I'm afraid of the water. I can't get in the water. When we actually filmed Extreme Paranormal... Originally, I was supposed to be in the water with Sean, and I did not know this, and they told us at the lake, and I was like, well, I'm supposed to perform a ceremony. I can't do it. I didn't tell them, I'm scared to death of the water. I can't get in. But I love boats. I am a boat fanatic, and get me out on a boat, I'm in heaven. So I love the idea of a haunted boat.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't know if you really would want that because a haunted boat may scare you out into the water at some point, right?
Dude, this
which,
is
which one a happy boat? Happy no, boat that makes you want to stay on the boat?
No, people have asked me with all the stuff that happened on Extreme Paranormal why I didn't run or anything like that. I am not a runner. I don't jump in the water when I'm afraid or anything like that. I'm a freezer. If something happens that freaks me out, I freeze in place.
See, perfect. I run, so whatever's going to get someone's going to get you. See, survival instinct is kicked in well here.
That was Jason and Sean's plan. They were like, we know Nathan freezes, so if anything bad comes out, it'll get him. So, But
now, nothing bad happened to anyone on the boat when studying the Morgan?
What was that, please?
So nothing bad happened. I mean, your experience was all, you know, on the Morgan. So
yeah, it was all very positive. There was no negative.
Well,
entities there,
I wouldn't
or
say
negative
there
energy.
I wouldn't say there was no negative, because I got this EVP here. I'm gonna play it. When I don't know what was asked, but this was the response. I'm gonna play this EVP. If you couldn't hear it there, listen between what people are saying there, because there's a definite voice. So it said no.
No way.
No way. So it's there was definitely a bit of a negative there.
Well, yeah, they said no, and then no way. I was saying something about, do you want to ask any questions? And I got no, and then no way. So, but it wasn't negative in the way that, you know, nobody got pushed or touched or harmed in any way.
Now, here's one that you guys sent me, the questions one, and I couldn't make out what it was saying. So I'm going to play it three times in a row, and then you can tell everybody what it said.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Do you like to go dancing? So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Do you like to go dancing? So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Do you like to go dancing?
So what was that in between there?
That was like what I call a repeater. After I say the word questions, you hear a whisper. I say, can I ask you some questions? And then you hear questions.
Now, a lot of people...
And then you hear me say, do you like to go dancing? So in the pause, like right after I say the word questions, there's a repeater saying questions.
Let me turn that up really loud. Nobody say anything, because it's going to be very loud if you do. So hold on.
So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Do you like to go dancing? So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Do you like to go dancing?
Now, with what you were doing and everything, you were in a boat.
Uh-huh.
Did you check for echoes and things like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, wood absorbs sound. It doesn't bounce off. You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't, when you're inside a wooden vessel, that wood absorbs the sound. It doesn't echo like a cement or sheetrock.
But is it empty? Is it?
No, it was. I mean, it was very closed in, and I believe that we were sitting in the forecastle when I asked that question, and the forecastle was like there were like all these bunks all around, and it was very, very claustrophobic. We were not in a big open space. We were in a little tiny room that was full of wooden bunks and stuff, and we were like crammed in there. So there wouldn't be an echo.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, do you have any more questions about the Morgan there, Magnus?
No, I'm just listening. I love stories like this. I'm an EVP fanatic. It's one of the few things that dragged me into this field that I can't get out of it now, because these things are just so amazing that, I mean, sometimes I always worry it's like a, you know, the looking at a face in the clouds kind of thing, making stuff out. But there's so many things that of EVPs I just want to hear and listen for myself. So I'm kind of lost in the whole little story here.
Now, question from the chat room, was it a digital recording?
That one was not. At the time, I was using a microcassette recorder.
I remember those.
I like microcassette. I think I miss having that whole, you know, the microcassette. There's something with the magnetic stripping. I think there's something to that that helps with either the sounds, the voices, digital. I don't know. I miss it.
I still have my micro cassette recorder. The thing I don't like about it is that I cannot put an external mic on it, so I have stopped using it. because I have a box of magnetic tapes, but because I don't have an external recorder, I've just stopped using it. But I've switched to digital. I tell you, I've moved to that age.
Yeah, I have too. I find with the digital, I don't get the number, like the quantity of EVP, but the quality is so much better. It's so much clearer, and you know, it is better in that respect. But I used to get a lot more EVP with the magnetic tape.
Now, I was worried about that. Sometimes that may be, you know, like error in the tape itself. The recording, the process was not as solid as digital is.
Right. You get a lot of hiss from the tape, and sometimes you get clicking. What I used to do was I used to stick a pencil in the little holes and make sure the tape was good and tight, because if it's not, you can have like a clicking.
I used to actually get that with my digital microtape for my VHS.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, that can happen, and that's a good tip. You know, make sure your tape is tightly embedded into the recorder.
And I would never reuse tapes, ever.
The worst thing, yeah.
I always use, you know, a brand new tape. I would never use, one that was used before.
I did get into at one point when I was doing a lot more tapes. I actually paid for a rather high-end tape eraser. You know, it would actually erase the, and it was not one of those little kind of ones you buy at a quick store. It actually was to get rid of all evidence on a tape, pretty much. I feel like I could be like working for the IRS with that sort of thing. I found that, and still, even that, I would have to give it an excuse. People are like, oh, is it a new tape? You're like, well, no, but it's been erased from. And even if it was the best thing, even if the machine could clear everything off it, there's still added more doubt to it. And I remember having to buy all these tapes. I had tapes sitting everywhere. So, stacks.
I'm going to play this last EVP because it's the shortest, and I want to ask you where you got it. So let me play it first. So here we go. Let me play that loud again so everybody gets it here. There we go. And I just wanted to ask, like, where were you when you got that?
I think that one was also in the folk. So I think, I believe it was in the folk. So, And it was kind of funny because we weren't really asking questions. I think I might have just like placed it there, and just happened to pick up this voice. And I think what it was it was in reaction to all the women investigators we had on this case. I think there were only, you know, three men at this particular night that we were there. And the rest were women. We had like, you know, five or six women. And, you know, a couple of them were, you know, fairly attractive. And you've got to remember that these men were at sea for months without seeing women. And he was like, all right, you know, like, all right, there's women on board, you know.
Hoo-ah, perfect.
So that's what it's saying is all right. And, you know, was the tape there alone while you were gone, or?
Yes, yeah, sometimes what I'll do is, I'll try to place the recorder, with a video camera that doesn't have a microphone, or I'll just place it in a spot that's pretty quiet, and, I'll announce the date and the time and the place and who's there. And I ask the spirits to speak loudly and clearly, because this device will pick up their voices. And if there's something they want me to hear, then I'll be able to listen to it later. And I'll just place it and walk away and leave it running for, you know, maybe a half hour or so.
So,
and sometimes, you know, we get messages like this.
Well, that's one of my favorite things to do, is to just leave a tape player and leave it and walk away. But there's a lot of listening when you're done with that. I mean, sitting.
Oh, it's my whole week. I'm at work typing emails out with this just earphones in, and it's like white noise. There's a static because there's people walking in distance. It's kind of creepy sometimes.
But this was just one investigation. You guys do a lot of investigations.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we did. We did several investigations on board the Morgan, but we do other investigations. We do about a dozen every year. We do private homes. We do historical buildings. We've done a stable. We've done a mobile home. We've done a lighthouse.
Now, Brian Lambert from Rhode Island wants to know if you've ever investigated the monastery at Chamberlain.
Oh, Cumberland.
Cumberland.
The Cumberland Monastery. No, we haven't.
You have.
It's now a library.
Okay.
And the original monastery there, there was a fire. And I don't know if anyone perished in the fire, but the part that remains is part of the library now, and people claim to have seen a monk, you know, walking around in that area of the library.
Okay.
And but we've never, well, we may have done that monastery before I came on board, because my group's been in existence for 25 years, but I've only been a member for 7. So a lot of investigations took place before I joined. So it's possible that we did go there before I joined.
Now, what were some of your favorite Rhode Island haunts?
Oh, boy, that's a good one. I think my favorite is the Payne House, because it's not very well known. And we investigated there for 3 years. It's and it's like a mile and a half from my house, so it was very convenient. You know, Rhode Islanders don't like to travel very far. You know, if you got to drive
a big state. How far
from
Westerly
to Providence, that's just too far. You know, so this place was built in the late 1600s, and has had it's on the National Registry of Historic Places. And it's had all kinds of incarnations. It's been everything from a tavern to a boarding house to an apartment house to a private family home. And the place is just, every time I went there, I would come away with dozens of EVP. And after a while, you get to recognize the voices. You know, you could say, oh, that's so-and-so, or oh, that's this one. And
I loved about investigating in Rhode Island? No matter where you were investigating in Rhode Island, you could drive through Newport on the way home and stop and get a drink.
Well, there's a lot of places in Rhode Island to drink besides Newport. Believe me.
You have all the people that know that are Rhode Islanders, or whatever you call them, they can drink well. Either they have parrots or they drink well. That's the two mixes I find in Rhode Island.
Arg. Oh, my goodness. Now, like, your group, you said you do private homes and stuff like that. If somebody wants to get in touch with the Paranormal Research Society...
I got that. They want to go to our website, which is www.triprg.com, and just click on Contact Us, and you can send us an email. And we also have a message board on there. We have information about our members. We have...
they also have some EVPs on there, too, and one EVP.
Oh, yeah.
I was talking to her on the break before. The reason I knew about her website is because her EVP can actually tell you what's happening in the current mainstream movie scene.
Ooh.
Because if you go to one of her EVPs, there is a ghost that actually says, Edward. So we obviously know that they are for Team Edward for the new moon.
No.
Yeah. It actually is. I'm a Team Jacob guy all the way, I'm saying. But see, apparently the ghost here is obviously for the vampire side.
Magnus, we never tell people they're wrong on the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, but we never talk about that movie or book. Oh. It's God.
You're just mad because you sparkle in the sun and they took away your thing.
I don't burn. I don't tan.
I've seen, you're Casper White. You are. You are as they, I'm a redhead, and I'm a redhead saying that you are a daywalker. I think.
When a guy whose family is ginger tells you that you're a daywalker.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I don't tan, I don't burn, I implode. Yes, it's pretty bad. But I gotta say, not a fan of that movie. I haven't seen the new movie, so
not missing much. You're not missing anything at all.
Okay, but you know, people can go and check you out there, and you know. We've asked you your favorite sites. We've talked about the Charles W. Morgan. I just want to go a touch before we close tonight into the Paranormal Research Society of the Paranormal Research Group and Society of Rhode Island.
Okay.
What, you know, in just a few words, like, describe the group for us, because people who are want to have a group come and visit them or stuff, you know, what is your guys' professional outlook on going to people's homes or just doing investigations in general?
Well, one thing is that we don't charge. We do what we do to help people, to educate people. Education is a big part of what we do. So if someone gets in touch with us and says that they have a paranormal activity at their home, what we'll do is call them up and talk to them over the phone. Kind of try to get a feel for what's going on. And then we'll send a small team of investigators, no more than four, to do what we call, I'm blanking now. It's not a full investigation. It's like a preview investigation, and I can't think of the word because I'm having farts in my head right now.
That's okay. That happens to me all the time on the show.
It's a preliminary
investigation, and that's something that not a lot of groups do. We do a preliminary investigation. It's like a walkthrough for about an hour, just to see if there is any activity. We take pictures. We do audio recordings. We take measurements with the EMF meters. We do a structural survey. You know, we look to see, you know, where the electrical wires are, if the foundation's cracked, that kind of thing. And if there's no evidence of any activity, then we would not recommend having a full investigation done.
Okay.
Because, hey, if it ain't broke, let's not fix it. But if there is evidence of paranormal activity, we do recommend that a full investigation be done. And depending on the size of the place, we could go from, you know, anywhere from four or five investigators to the whole group, which would be like a dozen. And we would pull out all the stops. A full investigation is like what you see on Ghost Hunters with right. all the infrared cameras and the thermometers and the audio recorders, and we'll spend like 3 or 4 hours or all night if we can documenting the activity.
I love when you actually can do that. We actually have a full large camping RV system that is set up at the group I work with, and actually we have, full beds, removed place to go out there to review information. And if you have a chance to do something like that, it's great. And
see, I have a problem with going anywhere where you're provided with a full bed, because even when investigating a haunted prison, there were mattresses on the bed and I took a nap. So it's dangerous for me to investigate anywhere where a bed is available to me. So
well, the pillow's not haunted.
But, you know, quite frankly, before we close tonight, I just want to say, I know we get these brain farts every now and then when we're talking about things. Personally, mine involves this bottle of Crystal Head vodka that's sitting next to my...
Oh, don't get going on the Crystal Head vodka. a very good friend, actually a fellow member from the group, gave me a bottle for my last birthday.
It's great stuff. Actually, a friend of mine got a bottle from Dan Aykroyd himself that was kind of pimping it out.
I'm very upset because Dan Aykroyd has been in my area twice, both in New York and in New Jersey, in the last month, and I was unable to get out to see him and get my bottle of Crystal Head Vodka for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter studio signed.
You should. He's an amazing guy. I've been fortunate enough to meet him once by accident and once obviously trying to actually meet the guy. But he's just like very him. Like he was not pompous actor. I was bumping to him and he chatted away. It's great. So especially if he knows if you're a ghost hunting crew, like, you know, he's all into that. So.
But on that note and closing for the evening, I would just like to, and I'm going to do this in my, all of a sudden I have a British accent. What the hell happened there? I don't know. On that, we're going to close for this evening and thank Maggie Florio from the Rhode Island Paranormal Research Group and Society, where you can find them at www.triprg.com, and say thank you to everyone tonight. And Maggie, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Oh, that's the important thing. Paranormal research should be fun. If you're not going to have fun, then, you know, that's fine, but don't make the rest of us hate it for what we do. Don't take it out on the rest of us, please. So, Maggie, can you hold on while Magnus and I close for this evening?
Sure.
And Magnus, it's time for us to thank everybody for joining us tonight for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show.
Yay, thanks for putting up with me, people. I know I'm not Sean, but I try.
Well, you know, in the words of Sean, thanks to everyone for joining us in the chat room and around the world tonight at the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show. And log into our forums at www.ghostanddemon.com because we really want to hear from you. And join us next week for the Ghostman and Demon Hunter show, that will be, providing I can find a guest and, you know, all that stuff, it will be April 25th, 2010. We will be back. And Magnus, do you want to say Sean's closing line or should I?
I think you should. I'll sit here and just smile and clap like a really good, like, okay, you know, a monkey should.
Okay. Well, you're not a monkey, but you're a Bigfoot. And in that... Don't go changing, everybody. You know we won't. We love you. Good night.
See ya.
The comments of Sean Burrs do not represent those of Ghostman and Demon Hunter or their affiliates.
So say good night to the bad guy.
Well, I don't like work where I work. I'm wasting my precious time. I'm working day in and slaving day out, and I'm losing my worried mind. From day to day, the boss man telling me what to do just makes me wanna say to those heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here. Bother someone else for a while now, brother, I could use a beer. I don't need you and I don't need this, so I wanna make this perfectly clear. Listen up, heathens and hooligans, you won't get the hell out of here.